Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and I greet all of you the listening audience, those of you who have so graciously joined us in the chat room, and those of you who are joining us via telephone, as well as my distinguished panelists. And our greeting words for peace, assalamu alaikum.
And it is my distinct.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to have with me, who has not been with me in such a very, very, very long time, and we are so honored to have him with us tonight, the founder, the CEO of Nation Building Movement, Brother Rakim Khalik Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, soldier. I'm not going to ask you to introduce yourself because I'm going to ask you to present yourself once again.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Once again, as Sister Gidja stated, Sister Gidja, I was so glad. That was a grand introduction. You're right. I don't even have to introduce myself. That was great. Listen, you caught me off guard. I don't even know what to say behind that one. But I want to thank everyone for listening and joining us tonight, because tonight this is going to be a very, very interesting subject. Very interesting.
Yeah, right. Right. And of course, my beloved big brother, my friend, my partner, he's just an all-around FOI. I can't say enough about this brother. Brother Kareem N. Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri, front and center soldier, and present yourself, because he is our gracious host of Conscious Black Nation on Monday night. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, queen. How are you this evening?
I am blessed by Allah's grace and permission. I'm here. All praise
right.
to Allah, and you, sir?
That's first. I am indeed fine by the grace of Almighty God, Allah. And let me say, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the world, who came to us, who intervened in our affairs in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our divine reminder, yes, Redeemer in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, all I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you for once again allowing me to be of service, because in the end, that's what it's all about. You know, I hear people all the time talking about, don't use me, don't use me, and get off the planet, because that's what you're here for. You use
oh,
me up, and don't miss you.
Yes,
me.
Sir. Okay, well, listen, I want to explain to the listening audience two things. First of all, what our topic is about, and second of all, our guest speaker, who was supposed to be Sister, known on Facebook as Sister Diatoma Clarity. Her real name is Sister Jamie X, and Sister Jamie had an emergency and could not be here tonight, but this topic came from her. She inquired of me last week about doing a topic on niggardliness in our nation. And I was very reluctant to do that. But as we began to conversate, I kind of got an idea of what avenue she was traveling from. And so I, of course, agreed not only to her, but to all of our listening audience. I appreciate you all so much, and we do not take you for granted. So anytime that you have something that you feel that we need to address, something you want to address yourself, this is your network. You are welcome to come on here anytime. All you have to do is just set it up. I mean, we are here for you. We're here for all of you. So this is not just my creativity, or Brother Kareem, or Brother Rakim, or any of the hosts. We welcome everyone to join in with us. So on her behalf, we're going to be addressing this topic. And I know, okay, I've been in the South too long. I forgot how to talk. Niggardliness. Not a word I use every day, so I'm trying to get my enunciation correct. But we're going to address that issue, and I'm going to start. And I'm going to start from the Quran, and I'm going to start from Surah 3, verse 179. And
That's
it
right.
says, "And let not those who are niggardly in spending that which Allah has granted them out of His grace think that is good for them. Nay, it is evil for them. They shall have a collar of their niggardliness," I know I said that wrong, "niggardliness on their necks on the resurrection day. And Allah is the heritage of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is aware of what you do." So even in the Quran, it says, Brother Kareem, I'm going to start with you, that we are not to be niggardly in how we spend. And to you, I want to know, in your opinion, how has that been demonstrated to you?
When you say how has it been demonstrated to me, you mean individual?
Yeah, that we've been niggardly. Yeah. Now listen, I'm gonna tell y'all right now. We speaking straight words. We ain't got no professional on here. We speaking straight words. And I'm not Oprah. I don't have to be politically correct. We having a real conversation. So niggardliness amongst our people, period. Black people, black Christians, black Jews, black
right.
Hindus, black Buddhists. How has that been demonstrated in your experience amongst our people?
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's real simple for me, and you know, that's what I'm about, is straight words. The bottom line is, it goes back to what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has always taught us. The first thing he taught us is that we don't love ourselves, period. As a matter of fact, we hate ourselves. Many of us who say we are conscious, or I'm going to deal with in the ranks, in the mob. I'm going to just be point blank. You know, we'll talk real good. Or when we're around those who we feel have celebrity, I'll say, okay, or the leadership, you know, we'll put on a real good front. But when it comes to dealing with each other day by day, on a daily basis, we're extremely niggardly. And see, when it says do not spend or be niggardly in, you know, in your spending of what Allah has given you, that don't always mean money. Spending also means whatever I have to make use of. So what has happened to me personally is I've had individuals who will come to me, and this is also in the Quran, but I'm not going to get into that scripture, but they'll come to me with a product or a service, let's say, and they want topped out the best price. But then they'll come to me wanting my services, and they want me to get them a crackhead price. I'm going to just be real with you. Okay, I mean, that's just one instance. Also, I've seen it on my behalf. Now I'm moving and making it, put it into the broader spectrum of all of us getting along with all of us as a people. I see that same thing among our people, too, in general, but also in dealing with individuals. Say I have a situation or a problem where I need some guidance on it. And I go to and I turn to an individual who I may feel that I trust. Or, you know, I can at least count on them giving me good guidance in this particular area. But this individual will sit back and they will look at me and you can see it in their face. The fact that they are very pleased that I'm having a problem. They're very pleased that maybe if I were married at this point in time, that me and my wife are having a problem. They're very pleased to see that there's a bill I can't pay, and they're going to give me information. That's not going to help. I mean, this being niggardly thing, it goes back to the definition that they give you of being niggers. And I'm gonna go to that. It says, a meanly covetous and stingy person, a miser. So that means that I see it as is, it's a selfish individual. It's all about me. It's the individual that will treat you nice and not treat you kind. And what I mean by that is kindness, true kindness comes from the heart. True kindness comes out of honest and true love. So that means even if I may have a difference with you, I am going to still look out for your best interest. That's kindness. To be nice is an individual that they will act kind towards you or act kind toward me because there's something I have that they want. And once they achieve that goal, once they get what they need, all right, once they're able to misuse me, they ain't got to be nice anymore. Just very simply, that those are some things, without going into a whole bunch of detail at this point, those are some of the examples of niggardliness. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brother Kareem. Brother Rakim, I don't know where you are or what you're doing, but you are so noisy. I'm going to try to bring you in. Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Let me go to a quieter area, Queen. I got an air conditioner and it's running, and it's maybe a little loud.
That's your air conditioner? That's, oh, my goodness.
That's maybe, because what I do, and this you might call this niggerly. I don't know what you may call it, but I got central air. I got central air, but I got a window unit that I run to, in order to keep my bill down. So,
so okay.
That's what you hear.
Okay. But I wanted to get from you your experience on people being niggardly.
Sister, you want the truth?
And nothing but the truth, so help you Allah.
Nothing but the truth. Let me start with some of these believers that's on Facebook. Some of my core fake revolutionaries or fake believers.
Oh my God.
I gotta talk about it because many people look at nation building movement as something that you and I put together and they feel like it does not benefit them. Well, the reason I say that is because I've put posts up plenty of times asking believers to help us. And they're told that, like, they want to help the poor and they want to help the suffering masses of our people, but when it really comes down to doing it, we have nobody to help us. So therefore, you hear us, or shall I say Sister Gidget, week in, week out on the show, Brother Kareem, week in, week out, we have no other participation other than people listening. And they may be listening, hoping that one day we won't be on the air anymore. And so they don't participate because they're looking for our failure. But nation building is still moving. We're still moving. We've been here a year. We're still moving. So therefore, what I'm trying to say is, if you truly want to help the Most Honorable Supreme Minister Louis Farrakhan, you don't have to just work inside the Nation of Islam. You can help nation building. When you help nation building, you help the minister, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do whatever we can to help our poor suffering people, whether we're bringing you news, media, entertainment on the air, or whether we're out in the community trying to do things to help our people. So I'm just saying, some of us are so damn niggardly and lazy. They don't want to help us. They crazy as hell. For whatever reason.
Okay. But let's look at it on a broader scale because I don't want to offend anyone, and I'm certainly not going to point fingers. But as we look at our people across the board, when we start looking at our black nation, and we look at, and you can use Facebook for an example. There are many, many believers and just black people that we know that have businesses, whether it's the restaurant, whether it's graphic arts, whether they selling their independent artists, whatever their businesses may be, and yet when they market to us, who are supposed to be the believing family and supposed to be our people, we will turn a blind eye, you know, maybe because it's convenient. I don't know. Maybe, like, for instance, I'm just going to pull one off the top of my head. Like Brother Vernon, he's a part owner of Freedom Paper Company. So, you know, everybody uses toilet paper. But instead of us, as a people, buying from Brother Vernon, we'll go to Target, we'll go to Walmart, we'll go to our local grocery store and spend with others outside of our community, spend with those who do not invest in our communities, and we call ourselves gods. We call ourselves the owner, the maker, the cream of the planet Earth, but we don't own any of it. So the opposite of sense is nonsense to me. And as the minister is going on in his weekly series, The Time and What Must Be Done, the time is more critical than I think that we are realizing. Because just the other day, I don't know if it was yesterday or day before yesterday, Brother James, Student Minister James Muhammad in Tampa, Florida, shared with me, because you know I don't do politics, but he shared with me that they voted down Section 5 of the Voters' Rights Act, which means that they do not have to enforce the right for black people to vote. So they're going back 70-some years. And look at all the people, whether it has been beneficial or not, because we as Muslims in particular don't involve ourselves in politics, but we have black elected officials. We have a black resident. I ain't going to say president. Resident. We, you know.
Yeah, that's what he means. He's a resident.
But if we choose, as a so-called citizen of the United States, because, you know, we citizens by force, not by choice, but if we choose to vote, that right has really been eliminated, or the enforcing of that right has been eliminated. So this is the beginning of the time, or this is another sign of the time that the minister is speaking about in the series, The Time and What Must Be Done. So as the minister talked in February about the economic blueprint for the Nation of Islam and establishing a national treasury and doing for ourselves, is it, in your opinion, just the minister talking to dead air? I know there are some who work for self, who are doing for self, but what are we as a people doing? Are we as a people being niggardly because from day to day to day to day, we're still going to Walmart, we're still buying from every other fashion place except for our own? What do you think is going on with our nation, Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am.
As a whole.
I have to, in order to preface that and answer the question, this is what's going on. And again, this is something I've read before, we've shared, and if we are really believers, if we are really students of this teaching, then we should know this and be practicing this. And it's in Message to the Black Man, page 174. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this: know thyself and be yourself. Islam makes a true brother to brother. If this be true, how can a believer, Muslim, be a true brother to another believer and boycott his brother and support the enemy? The believers in truth, Islam must stop looking up to the white race for justice and take the following steps to correct this problem. Acknowledge and recognize that you are a member of the Creator's nation and act accordingly. This action in the name of Allah requires you as a Muslim to set an example for the lost found, your brothers in the wilderness in North America. This requires action and deed, not words and lip service. And then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad goes on into giving us more instruction about the economic blueprint, but I read that because that describes exactly what you're talking about. And you must have been reading my mind when you used the example of Freedom Toilet Paper. When I first heard about it, and let me say this about Freedom Paper, period, the Freedom Paper Company, period. It's not just the toilet paper. I'm going to use that language, okay? Freedom Paper Company has many products which we use, including printer paper for your computer. But the people in the neighborhood or in our community don't know that because many of us that's in our community don't know it or we don't use it. Like you say, we will go to Walmart, Target, anywhere else, but except to follow the instructions we were given. When it says do for self, we're told we need to pool our resources. But like you say, out of convenience or well, that's too expensive. What are you talking about? I mean, we wanna sit up. Yes, I know they are the synagogue of Satan. We wanna sit up and talk about the synagogue of Satan, quote unquote, or the Jews, quote unquote. However, we were told to study them in business. But they are successful. Why are they successful? Because they unite. They keep their money in their circle so that they can make use of it. I mean, excuse my language, but how the hell am I a Muslim follower? I'm going to use that language. Follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we have a product which all of us use every day that has been presented to us, has been a savior day. And every believer, registered believer in the Nation of Islam is not using the product. There's no way in hell I'm a believer. And I'm like, as soon as I found out about the product, I stopped going to the store. I mean, literally. And I order a cake so that I have it on hand. And I introduce it to people. Because that's what we're supposed to do. You know, I mean, like I said, I mean, it is sickening to see individuals sit up, like I say, what I call these Hollywood reality TV show event Muslims. As Allah talks about it in the Quran, he talks about you do these acts, you do these things that seem like you doing it to be seen. You doing it to be seen. No, we should be, if there's no way that we should not be purchasing all of those needs as believers from Freedom Paper Company, that's just one. And any service that we need to have, we should be getting it from those, I say this, first in the nation and then also from our own people. Prophet Elijah Muhammad also told us, he said, stop one-time criticism of everything that's black-owned, black-operated. I mean, as you just said, we sit up in the student row, but the first question and answer is, who is the original man? They say the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. Well, how are you going to be the God of the universe and you still going to your enemy for support? You got to go to your enemy for everything you get. I mean, what you going to do when they decide to cut the electricity off? Have you stored anything in your house? What you going to do when you get hungry if you have not followed the instructions we have been given, and we haven't, because I've been across the country myself, not recently. And let me ask this question. How many actual Muslim communities, I'm talking about Nation of Islam now, do we have where it's 20 or 30 Muslims or 20 or 30 Muslim families living in the same area, in the same block? Everybody else is doing it. So when, as you say, the minute individuals are not watching what's going on, they're not actually absorbing what's going on. Yes, watch the time and what must be done every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Standard or CDT time. The minister really talk hard, clap, 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 and then go back to being the same niggardly person that you are. Because if we are not at this late hour preparing for the hell that's getting ready to rain down on the entire world, we're going to be completely lost, you know. And I'm not going to say I pity anybody, because while the warning has been given and the warning is still being given, yes, we must listen to the minister. Yes, he's given us good instruction. However, we talked about it earlier this week or even last week. We all have been given the same instructions. We got the same teaching. Why are we not practicing what we've been given? Why are we not a unit? Why are we being so niggardly, as you so aptly read earlier from Quran? It's, and I'm going to read it again. It states, it says, and let not those who are niggardly in spending that which Allah has granted them out of his grace. What has he granted us? The greatest thing he's granted us is his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and instructions on how to apply that to get through this great and terrible time, and even to thrive in this great and terrible time. He says, they think that it's good for them. Nay, it is evil for them. They shall have a collar of their niggardliness. I mean, think about that. What are we talking about? That means that if I am not practicing what we have been given 100%, and that's because you notice everything is 100%. If I'm not practicing that 100% or to the best of my ability, when it says there's a collar of niggardliness around my neck, it means that when you, for example, when you got a dog or an animal, when you want to control them, what do? You put a collar on them, and you put them on a leash. And that means they can only go as far as you allow them to. Well, we're in the same boat. We can make excuses for individuals, and yes, I know and I understand it takes time for people to change and all that. Shut up. Stop making excuses and get busy. That's what we got to do. If anyone that's suffering, I ain't say striving or struggling, anyone that is suffering and that has these teachings, they don't believe and they not practicing. That's what I'm looking.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay. Brother Rakim, and I know you have questions. Those of you who are in the chat room, please type your questions in. I will answer them, ask them on your behalf. And those of you who are calling by phone, press 1 on your dial pad. We are going to get some questions. Brother Rakim, see, the Kareem and the Rakim is messing me up. Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am.
Where do you see our people as an entire nation? Excuse me. As it relates to niggardliness. Y'all have to excuse me, I'm fighting a cold. But where do you see that? I mean, you know, where are we in your opinion?
In my opinion, sister, we still don't want to be free. I don't care if we call ourselves Muslim or Christian, we don't want to be free.
Come on.
And a fool can never be free. So as long as we're fools, we can never be free. I mean, you look at our people, just like we talk about the freedom paper. We don't want freedom. You want to still go to Walmart? Some of us don't even know about freedom paper. I've got to excuse those that don't know about freedom paper. And sad but true, I knew about freedom paper, but I got to tell them myself, I've never really researched freedom paper, and I never tried to find out how to get freedom paper. And so I can't talk about my brother and sister without talking about myself. I can't do that. But when we know better, we do better. So if you know that we have people our people, some of our people that can supply our own needs. Those are people we need to deal with. We need to do business with them. If you got to order Freedom Paper, order Freedom Paper. You got some people who go to their homes, they ain't had no toilet tissue in weeks. And that's the truth. They had enough time to order Freedom Paper. They had enough time to go to grocery store. But some of us are so lazy, we go to work, go home, and we don't care about nothing. You got some FOI, I'm talking about FOI, you go to the house, they have no tissue, they don't have no soap. I had brothers say, Brother Rakim, could you bring some soap over here? Just like, we were going to call out. I'm not going to call no brothers' names. But brothers, Brother Rakim, there's two brothers in the apartment. Brother Rakim, could you bring us some soap and some tissue? Now, with this teaching, we should never be niggerly or niggers living in an apartment with no tissue or not able to supply our own needs. So what I see, Sister Gidget, I see our people not wanting freedom. We don't want to be free. We don't want to be self-sufficient. We want to still depend on others. That's what I see.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Rakim. Okay, area code 615. Area code 615.
Like,
area code 615, going once.
Something like that.
Going twice.
Something like that.
Waalaikumsalam.
Praise be to Allah, family. I was just listening in. It's a great show, and I'm learning a lot of information. And, I don't have too much to add, but just keep it up. And it's definitely something that we need to hear and then be able to get mobile and make some things happen. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Okay, I thought you had a question. Okay, now, you know, here's the thing for me, and I wish the sister could have came on here because she has far more details than I do, but she used a couple of examples, and again, I say this, and I don't want to offend anybody, but these were some examples that she gave to me. And one of the examples was Organo Gold, and another one was this thing called Five Links and other products and services like those things, which is a pretty much like a pyramid type thing where you make money off of other people and you sell the product to them, they sell the product to somebody else, they sign up under you. Everybody knows what that is. Everybody been in multi-level marketing at some point or another, and if you haven't, look it up. But these products and services may be very well beneficial to the individual. However, when we are spending money to enhance other corporations, and like, for instance, and I'm going to use Five Links. Five Links is a program, but that company is not our company. It's not black-owned. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay anybody to make money. You have to pay to be allowed to make money. So you actually paying to work. And that is senseless to me. Now, if it's something that you can invest in and you get a return back, that's fine. But it is eating at the fiber of our nation. It's eating at the fiber of our economy, because the monies that you are spending to enhance another business, you could very well spend that money in your own nation. And everybody is talking about money. Yes, the economy is tough. However, I know for certain that if you get 2, 3, 4, 5 brothers together, 2, 3, 4, 5 sisters together, and you all pull your resources, and you can start one good business. Everybody might not have $10,000 to invest, but maybe you got 5 people that got $2,000 to invest. At least you are investing in yourself. and those services that other people offer to our people that we often frequently participate in, we need to be the ones providing the service. I'm going to give you a perfect example of one. Now, I don't want to offend nobody once again, but let's just say hair weaves. Now, we the only creatures on the planet that go and get somebody else's hair and put it in our head. However, I white people might buy wigs or whatever. I've never seen a white person just really buy a weave or anything like that. I certainly have never seen an Oriental person do it. I've never seen a Hispanic person do it. Maybe some Africans, maybe every now and then. But us as a people, we are the ones who really, really saturate that market when it comes to buying that product. Why we don't have a wholesale hair store that we can call our own? We have made all of these people filthy, filthy rich.
Rich.
And we are the ones, it's our dollars that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, Brother Kareem, I'm going to come back to you. To me,
yes, ma'am.
It appears as though that we really don't believe in the end time. And maybe we really don't believe in Armageddon. Or we don't believe that this country is going to turn heels on the black man in particularly and poor people in general. We don't believe that. We don't believe that we are at a time where we need to be preparing. It appears that way to me because as I go out through the communities, as I talk to people all across this country, we seem to be so comfortable in our condition. But yet we're complaining about that same condition. Well, to me, it's questionable about your desires to change when only thing you're doing is talking about it, but you're not getting up and doing anything to change your condition. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think, Brother Kareem, is going to take for our people to come together? What kind of hellfire is it going to take for our people to come together and pool their resources and do something for themselves? And are we going to wait till it's too late?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Thank you very much for what you just shared, because I see it, what you just said is right on point. And in answer to your question, it's going to take just that. I have to refer back to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's statements that he made in the books that he's produced. Also, you heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mention this again. It refers back to anyone that studies scripture, the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's in the 16th chapter. Anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, where it talks about the valley of the dry bones. And because we've had this teaching, we've had this, whether it's been, again, in the nation of Islam or whether it's just been just by looking at what's going on, I agree with you. The majority of people don't actually believe that we are at the end time. With all the evidence we have, with all the homelessness, with all the joblessness, with all of the deviant behavior that's taking place, with all the situations where we just can't make it, people are still under the illusion that it's going to be all right when they look at the news, as they call it. Okay, and I don't know why they call it news, because they keep saying the same thing over and over again. They tell you that the economy is getting better. How? Where? I don't see it. But getting back to Ezekiel, it talked about the bones, the dry bones in the valley. The dry bones in the valley, I'm just going to just say it. I'm not going to go through no long diatribe. The dry bones in the valley are us as a people. The dry bones in the valley are all the people that are suffering from this dying nation, because that's what's going on, it's dying. And they refuse to see the light. These people are dead in themselves. That's why they call dry. Anything that's alive has water. Well, now these dry bones, it said that they were preached unto, and they rose up and they came together. But even after they came together and they stood up, they wasn't doing nothing. They were idle. So then the Son of Man was instructed to prophesy unto the winds. Well, the winds represent circumstances. The winds represent things happening. So you say, what kind of hellfire is it going to take? Honestly, it's going to actually take for the powers, quote unquote, that be, for the devil, I'm going to just say it just like that, for him to start rounding up the 18,000 individuals in Chicago, and then once he sees how that goes, because the majority of us, we don't believe that. Once he does that, then he gonna start rounding them up here in St. Louis, rounding them up in Las Vegas, rounding them up in Houston, rounding them up in Dallas, rounding them up all over the country and locking them down. We might begin to think, something's wrong. But even that, personally, the way the people behave, I don't believe it's going to be enough. What it's actually going to take is when they actually, like you just said, with this Voting Rights Act. Now, me, myself, personally, the Voting Rights Act meant nothing to me, because I know from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I know from my own personal experience, that this voting thing is not the answer for us. And you got some individuals that say, well, wait a minute. The minister told us to vote. Yes, he did. He gave us instructions to go out and register to vote, and this was back in 1984, the first time I had ever voted in my life. I understand why he did that. Just look at that. And if you study Sun Tzu, you'll see why. The bottom line is that we to put such faith in this thing. So we stood with everybody else. We added our numbers to the voting public. And what did we stick? What did we get? We still got a pile of cow dung. Nothing. We went out and we voted. So, yeah, they've repealed the Voting Rights Act. All that is another sign that the enemy is letting you go, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, but that's still not enough. So what it's going to take is when they close the grocery stores, because it's coming. When they close Walmart, when they pull up on that lot and there's a big sign up there that say close forever. When the people are starving, literally starving, ain't no more McDonald's. And yeah, I know that's not grammatically correct. I'm going to say it again. Ain't no more McDonald's. Ain't no more Burger King. Ain't no more Jack in the Box, Taco Bell. None of that. When we are absolutely put in a situation where it is life or death, because that's how we seem to operate all the time, in crisis mode. When it comes down to a fact of, and I mean immediate life or death, then we'll actually begin to take right action. That's not all of us, but that's the majority of us. It's sad to say, but it's the truth. And honestly, I believe, and this is just my belief now, I'll say that for many, not for all, but for many, it will be too late. Because we have been given this and we have been warned, and the evidence is right in our face. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way I see this. You know, it's going to take the heavy hand of God. It's going to be like me when I was that rebellious young child. My mother used to give me chance after chance after chance after chance. And then finally, after I had messed up so bad that she couldn't give me any more chances, then she would beat my behind, and that's what it's going to take. I was going to let them.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Kareem. And Brother Rakim, I'm going to come to you. What do you think it's going to take for our people to come together and start pooling their resources? Well, I guess it would help if I would unmute his phone. Brother Rakim?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, it's hard. Brother Kareem is a hard act to come behind. But I will say this. Oh, yes, ma'am. But I'm just going to be real and just be Brother Rakim. The fact is, it's going to take the white man's businesses to crumble in the black community for black people to start doing for self. It really is. They're going to take the closing. They shut down every McDonald's in the neighborhood or Burger King's and all these other joints or these grocery stores, the Walmarts. I mean, when black people start seeing this, they're going to get the fear of God in them, because right now they're looking at the white man as God. They think the white man should provide for them. So therefore, even some of our poor Muslim brothers and sisters, they think that the white man should be able to provide everything for them. And so it would take the white man's multi-billion-dollar empire to fall down in order for us to see that God is real and that this devil is no longer going to take care of us.
Huh.
I mean, you look at, for example, you look at our people that, like, they got the munchies, they smoke that weed, they foolishly spend their money on weed. Weed give you the munchies. They riding around in the hood all night, can't find nowhere to eat, no McDonald's open, no nothing. McDonald's closed after 2, let's say they smoking after 2, or they don't, may not have enough money, they going to take their asses home and cook. That's what they're going to do. They're going to find a way to eat some way, somehow. So my thing is this. Why should things close down? Why should restaurants and stores close down before we start providing for ourselves?
Yes, sir. Well, let's talk about this, y'all. What about so we've kind of covered how we are niggardly in our deeds. So does that equate to, and I'm going to ask you, Brother Rakim, so you won't have to come behind Brother Kareem. How are we niggardly in our faith?
Well, we claim one thing, we practice another. That's number one. We claim to be, like some of us claim to be Muslim, Christian, whatever, but we practice something totally different. We supposed to get up and say our prayers. Some of us don't want to get up and pray. That's one example. We don't want to do for self. We claim that we are gods. A lot of us, I'm God. But what God do you know that don't produce for him or herself? Come on. You got land. You got land out there, but you don't want your land just sitting there. You got a house on 2 or 3 acres, but you mean tell me you can't grow a damn bell pepper? You can't grow okra? You can't grow nothing? But you got to run to Walmart, but you say you got it. But you can't produce nothing on your own land. And we own all the land, 196,940,000 square miles. You mean tell me you cannot put a watermelon, plant a watermelon on 2 acres of land? Something's wrong with that.
Okay. And Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am.
How are we niggardly in our faith?
Woo! Well, yeah, they probably gonna hunt me down now. So let me go and get this lead. I got to tell the truth. You know, I got to tell the truth. And I want to preamble it by saying this. In the book, Message to the Black Man. I mean, see, let me say this before I even read this. Let's go back and think about this. Maybe about 2 years ago, I will say, and my timetable may be a little off because I stayed in the teachings, because that's the only way I can apply them. I fight so many things, I got to stay in the teachings. But let us ask the question, mull this over. Why would the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan take the entire nation of Islam back and make everybody go and get all the messenger books and begin a study with the messenger's book. See, I'm gonna let people mull that over for a minute. Now, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says is on page 37 of Message to the Black Man, in the section entitled Original Man, he states this. He says, what the so-called Negro must do for himself. Men everywhere are seeking unity among themselves. Every race of people want unity with their own kind first, except my people, the so-called Negro in America. Our condition and lack of love for ourselves must be attributed to the slave master. He has been our teacher until the coming of Almighty God, Allah. See, I'm going to repeat that. It says our condition and lack of love for ourselves must be attributed to the slave master, period. Then he states he has been our teacher until the coming of Almighty God, Allah. The slave master has robbed my people of their God, religion, name, language, and culture. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to share this with you. This is a very short story. See, when I was a youngster, I was born and raised in the Nation of Islam. And when I was a youngster, about 17, 18 years old, I'd already left home. My mother kept telling me for years, she said, you need to read Message to the Black Man. My attitude was, I don't need to read Message to the Black Man. I'm born in the teachers. I know the teachers. And I was, excuse my language, I was a zip damn fool. It wasn't until I reached the age of 21 that I actually picked the book up and started reading it. And I understood why she told me I needed to read it. Because even though I had been exposed to the teachers, even though I had been raised in that protected atmosphere, I really did not understand what I had been given. Didn't have to purchase it. Didn't even have to fight for it, but what I had been given. And from that point on, I began to study it and have and continue to study it even now in my life. You know, how have we been niggardly in our faith? Again, just what you, Queen Aziza, and what you, Brother Rakim, have just said. I'm going to go right back to the very first lesson we all have been given. Student enrollment. It reads, student enrollment. Rules of Islam. The following questions must be answered 100% before submittance of student to said lesson number one. And if we are studying our lessons, we know that lesson number one gives us, that's our mission today. It constitutes our mission. What we're supposed to be on, as we say today, right? You know, what you on, that's what we're supposed to be on. Well, what does it mean? Well, let's look at going to college. When you go to college, you don't go to the office of submission. You go to the office of admission. Well, if this is student enrollment, then I'm enrolling in a class. So what does it mean that the following questions must be answered 100% before submission of student to say lesson number one? It means that until I have begun, or at least begun to answer these questions, my mind is not even in a shape to be able to fathom the depths of lesson number one, and indeed the teaching I have been given, which will liberate me and all those around me. What do I mean by that? It's real simple. See, I ask them, so, brother, when did you answer question number one of student enrollment? And the first thing they'll say out of their mouth is, well, I recited back in 1980, so I didn't ask you when you recited. I ask you, when did you answer the question? Because if you understand what answer means to provide a practical solution to a problem. In mathematics, for example, I could stand there and quote the formula all day or quote the problem all day. But if I have not given you the actual solution, I have not answered the question. So when we answer just that first question, the maker, am I taking the material? That's what a maker does. Am I taking the material that's around me? Am I taking the information that I have been given? Am I uniting with the people around me who have like mind or who have skills that we can pool our resources, our nickels and dimes, as we have been told, and produce a business? Have I done it? Have I made any? What have I made lately? Owner, you just said it, Brother Rakim. I got this land. Just because my name is on a piece of paper saying I own it don't mean I own it. To own it means I have actually tilled the ground. I have actually done something productive with it that it is now of value to me and my people and this cause that I say I believe in. That's when I'm an owner. Cream of the planet Earth. Well, we know this old adage, cream rises to the top. Am I on the top? Or am I still on the bottom with my bow tie wearing headpiece wearing ass? Yeah, I said it. Get mad. Maybe we need to get mad.
Oh, my.
And then it says, God of the universe. What universe am I ruling? Like my brother and my sister just said, when I got to go right back to my enemy to supply my needs. I'm not saying to individuals, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us, he said that if we have a job, Allah has blessed us to be on the job, be thankful for it, and go to that job, and give them an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. However, if that job, and see, it's not an accident that the word job and the word and the name Job are spelled the same. I ain't going to get into that. Just take too much time. It ain't an accident. But if that job at this day and time is not allowing me or helping me to provide and build a base of independence for myself and my people, then I'm a sellout. Take it or let it alone. I'm welcome.
Okay. All right. All right. We're going to move on down the line a little bit, because I really want to speak to the behavior. And we all know where the behavior comes from. I'm not going to give anybody a history lesson. We know why we are conditioned
like this.
It came from slavery. We already know that. But we are niggardly in so many different ways. And I'm going to talk about relationships for just a moment. And Brother Rakim, with your noise yourself. We are niggardly with our spouses. And my sisters, I hope they know I love them. But a lot of our sisters are niggardly with their husbands. I'm going to say it again. A lot of our sisters are niggardly with their husbands. A lot of our sisters are niggardly in their mentality when it comes to our brothers. Now, I know people always say, well, you know, why is she always advocating for the brothers? Well, because, you know, I don't think we fully understand what black men in particularly are going through in this country. Excuse me. And I'm going to take you back to the minister series when he talked about, and I think it was number 24 or 25, 23, when he was talking about what they plan to do with the gang problem in Chicago. And they said that they were going to round up 18,000 members of the gangs and incarcerate them, and that would take them off the street. Now, that's just in Chicago. But I can't tell you how many of the major metropolitan cities and other places, what they call towns, or you know, suburbs or whatever you want to call them, other little areas, are planning that same strategy. And so when they talk about extracting a large number of black men out of the community, then that is an impact on our nation, because the black man is still the backbone of our nation. I don't care what you say. The black is the backbone of this nation right here, the black nation. And so a lot of times what has happened is that the black man has been put in a position to whereas this is the only game they have left to play. And a lot of you say, well, that's no excuse. They can, if they can sell drugs, they can learn how to sell something else. That's absolutely true. However, the difference between business and drug dealing is this. The person who gives you the drugs to sell are giving them to you somewhat on credit, so to speak. In other words, if Big Joe Blow wants to get about four or five little brothers to scramble for him, he's not going to say, well, man, look, give me $500 and I'm going to let you sell this and you make your $500 back. That's not how that's going down. They're putting the drugs in these babies' hands or these young men's hands or men's hands or whatever and say, go out there, get my money, and I'm going to cut you whatever I'm going to cut you. Well, that's not how it is in business. In business, you need monies to start. If you're going to sell commodity products, whatever you're going to do, you're going to need monies to purchase those things wholesale so that you can resell them. But the drug game is so easy because they're actually giving it to you, and you know who's bringing it in here. And the police
right.
know where every crack house at. They know where every drug dealer at, and they let it go on. And they let it continue on. Then when some politician wants to get elected, or when, you know, the crime rate gets out of control and the white people start complaining, now they're talking about gathering up massive numbers of black men, and the black men are incarcerated. And this is what I want to share with my sisters. They are not allowing, and I'm using these words very carefully, and I'm telling you what I see every day, being a juvenile probation court advocate for these juveniles in this town, and how I'm interacting with the criminal justice system on a regular basis. They are not allowing black men to work, period. I don't care what kind of education he has. I don't care what kind of skill he has. At every turn, there's always a door being closed in the faces of our black men. However, there's a short window of time where the job market is still open to the black woman. Now, let me just put this scenario out here. Say you are a black woman and you're on a job and you make $100,000 a year. You don't have to extend yourself so much to whereas you're actually spending $100,000 a year. It doesn't take anybody $100,000 a year to live. Unless you're trying to live like some Maserati or something like that, some duchess, some queen, which you are, which you deserve the best, absolutely. But when you go out here and you look for a man and you say, well, he needs to make what I make or more than what I make, and the opportunities for black men, it's just not there. And it's getting more and more scarce every day. I just want to put this idea out here. And I want the audience, if you would, participate. I want to get your input. You don't have to ask the question. I just want to ask your opinion. So for those of you who are calling, press 1 on your dial pad if you're willing to give us an opinion. What about a woman who is fortunate enough to make, you know, good money on her job or whatever? What is wrong, and I'm going to ask you, Brother Kareem, first, with a woman who maybe make $100,000 a year? Let's say she's living on a $50,000 budget, which means that annually her bills don't exceed over half of her income. So that means that she has another $50,000 that she's saving. What is wrong with helping a black man create something for himself? And I promise you, sisters, in 2, 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, you'll be able to leave that job. Because he will exalt you to the level where you need to be. And I don't know if it's just me thinking like that, but Brother Kareem, I'm going to ask your opinion.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Well, first of all, I would say this. There is nothing wrong with a black woman helping a black man. We have to understand that, just as you said, our roles have been reversed and they have placed us in the position where it is, I'm going to say, extremely difficult, if nigh on impossible, for a black man to do anything now, because they see us on the rise and they notice our rise is predicated on our unity, and I'm talking about the unity between the black man and the black woman. Now, since, as you just said, for the most part, they have placed the black woman in the position where she has access to the funds, and we know it takes money to begin to produce in this world, then having that understanding, what you asked me what's wrong with her. Well, I would say that she doesn't have the correct understanding of her position or her man's position as they both relate to their position to Almighty God and his plan for the resurrection and the rise of our people. That's what's wrong. There's a misunderstanding there. There's a lack of knowledge. We can use the term, I mean, I understand people have the various things that they've gone through with in past or previous relationships and things of that nature. However, you are very specific in your language, and that's what we have to do. We are not talking about, dare I say, a nigger. We're not talking about an individual who doesn't have knowledge of himself. We are talking about a black man, and the difference there is a black man is one who has knowledge of himself, which means he also has knowledge of you, sister, and holds you in the highest regard. Now, let
That's
me be
right.
very clear. Being a man, he's not going to put up with your mess now. Let's be clear. Because the mess, and neither should you put up with his mess. Let's be clear. It's equal here. However, Allah has made it so that the situation is we are not going to get out of this. We are not going to rise out of this condition alone. We must do it together. That's why the conditions are as they are. And I'm going to say this for the sisters who are in Islam. Study Khadija, Muhammad, the wife of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the financier. He was the prophet. She used her wealth to finance the movement.
Come on.
This is for the Muslims who will understand that history. For the black men and black women who may not be Muslim, you Christian, okay? Let's say you Christian. Look in your Bible and look at women like Esther. Look at women like Rachel. Do you think they were alone in what they were doing? No, they weren't. But they just don't give you all the information. You're going to have to dig deeper into their stories. But look into the Bible and you see that even with Jesus, dare say, they say around him were the women. They talk about the three Marys. The women were the ones who were more supportive of the cause. And support of the cause always necessarily involved economics. Yes, I know you went to school. Yes, I know you got your degree. Yes, you've been through this and been through that. And you hanging around with your, and I put this in quotes, your friend who telling you that you don't need a man. There's something wrong with that bitch. What do you mean you don't need a man? And if you don't need a man, and I'm talking to you, my Christian sister, then why does the scripture talk about marriage and how the two who were twain will come together and become one if you don't need a man? See, we gotta get these Caucasian produced European ideas out of our head and think for ourselves. Don't let somebody preach to you what the scriptures say. Go and study it for yourself. And then when you get through studying them words on the page, look into your own heart, look into your own mind, and ask yourself, are you as happy as you could be? I'm not going to say you're not happy, because money can bring you some happiness. Let's be real. It can bring you some, but not all. And money cannot answer that part of your soul that is longing for God. And you're not going to find him out in outer space. No little bird is going to come whisper in your ear. Just as we are taught in Islam that the only heaven that the black man is going to find is in the black woman. Yes, black woman, the only true heaven you are going to find is in the black man. Because what's happening is it is the person of God in each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Coming together to be one. That's what we got to look at. So, yes, and as my sister said, yes, a black man, he's going to lift you. But you have to be willing to let him be the man. You got to be willing to let him be the man. Majority of us, and I say us because I'm not going to leave myself out, we are broken in one way or another. However, there are many of us, we are strong, and we are ready. And see, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to back up off of it. Sisters, it's real simple. A black man, I can say this about a black man because I am a black man. I don't need nobody to tell me that. My own actions, my own experience show me that. I am a black man. And that being the case, I will die for you in this cause. But I'm not going to die because of you and your misunderstanding. We have got to learn the knowledge of self. Yes, we need to know our history and all of where we come from. But the real knowledge of self we need is the self. I need to know who I am personally, my faults, and I also need to know my attributes, my assets. And you sisters need to do the same. And then we can come together, and then we'll be able to correct one another when we need correcting. But we have to learn who we are, what our place is, and get in that place and move out on that. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. All right. Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Are you still in the dungeon of the valley of noise?
You know, some sister, I really don't know what the noise is. I see you been hitting me.
That's
out.
Okay.
Like, okay.
I wanted to ask your opinion about the women being niggerly towards men. What is your opinion on that? And I asked the audience to participate, but I hope y'all are not being shy. So I'm going to ask y'all one more time. Press one on your dial pad and give us your opinion. But, Brother Rakim, what about the women? Are they niggerly towards our men?
Yes, ma'am. Talking to the brothers and from probably some of my own experiences, just like Brother Kareem was talking, he was talking about Sister Khadijah, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his wife, she funded the movement. But the sisters today want to be in the movement, but they don't want to be in the struggle. And I don't see how you can be in the movement without being in the struggle.
You got sisters that say, I don't want to struggle with no brother. I want a brother that got his own this, his own that. You know, he got to have a six-figure salary before she gets with him. So that's why you got a lot of MGT and a lot of Christian brothers, sisters are single today. Because they looking for a special type of brother to make a special type of bankroll that they feel like can fund whatever lifestyle that they fantasize about. So they still living in a soap opera fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. Yes, sir. You got MGT. You got MGT. Hey, I'm not going to call no names.
I don't.
But if you pay attention to Facebook, and you will see how a lot of these people, they live in a, they live their lives day by day watching soap operas and watching the non-reality shows. Pay attention. I said the non-reality shows. They ain't talking about, oh, I know she didn't, I know he didn't. Well, if you start paying attention to these non-reality shows, maybe your reality will get a little better. Maybe if you start looking at these brothers on television that's making all this money to act a fool, maybe you start paying attention to the brothers around you that are actually trying to do something in life, and you invest your time and your money and your energy behind that brother, and maybe, damn it, you'll get somewhere. But you ain't going to get nowhere free. You ain't going to get nowhere without struggle. You got to struggle to have something. So a lot of these sisters don't want to struggle. And that's a damn problem. They want to be babyfied, but you can't be babyfied by a man unless that man learns to appreciate you. And the only way he can appreciate you is if you show him that you are down with him. I can't appreciate no damn woman ain't down with me. I want a woman that's with me while I'm broke and struggling. I don't want a woman that's going to come after I gain some finances. Because I'm going to tell you like Jesus, I don't know you. I never heard of you.
Oh, bro. That's right.
Oh, Lord.
So that's all I got to say, sister.
Well, you know, I don't want people to think that we're going contrary to the teachings when it says in the Quran that men are the maintainers of women. But women are to be maintained on all sorts of levels, you know, emotionally, financially, spiritually. However, I want to bring the awareness to our people that the devil knows the teachings. And if the devil knows the teachings, if the devil knows that the men are supposed to be the maintainers of women, who do you think they're going to target? They're going to target our black men and take them away from us so that we can become, the women can become dependent on them, or dependent on ourselves, or dependent on one another, which is contrary to what Allah has set up in nature itself. So this game, this trick of extracting the man out of the black workforce, I mean out of the workforce, extracting the black man out of the workforce, is a plot and a ploy that they have been conspiring to do for the last 100 years. This is their goal. It's to take the black men out of the communities so that black women can turn to one another, or of course turn to them. We're going to take a question or comment from area code 615. Area code 615, you have a comment?
Welcome. Yes, ma'am, I do. You know, when you're dealing with the time that we're in now and trying to be self-sufficient, even with the economic conditions that we have, and you have MGT and FOI as a family unit, or supposed to be a family unit, and you have the MGT, you know, making money or working, and the FOI is not, then you begin to see that his value, as far as the MGT is concerned, his value is placed upon what kind of dollar that he brings in. And that's not the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But unfortunately, unfortunately, that's what that woman has in her head, and she allows herself to be used and talked into that position by women who don't even have a damn man, they damn self. So instead getting real good advice on how to keep a man, she go listen to women who don't have a man, and they'll tell you how to get rid of yours, and then you be sitting up like them without a damn man. And then when that man that you threw away, because according to you, he didn't have a dollar, so he wasn't a provider. He wasn't a real man. And you let your so-called friends disrespect your own man in front of his children and in front of you, and then you sit back and laugh and think it's funny. Then when he gets with a real MGT and she knows her purpose and his purpose and help him to be the man that God placed in him, then you be sitting back by yourself complaining because that was the man that you had, which was a good man. But with your mouth, you took and you destroyed that man because the enemy wouldn't give him a job, but he was out there trying to pull nickels and dollars together to make a future for you and your family. But
come
she
on.
Didn't want
come
that
on, brother.
Because she saw that he was no good because a cracker wouldn't give him a job. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do for self. So if you are blessed to have a job, and the FOI your husband don't, but he's out there trying to make a living. Don't beat him down with your mouth. Don't break him down with your mouth. Help him with your mouth. That's what needs to happen. But it's
you're
like the MGT been subverted and made into the woman of this world. She don't want to be colored no more. She want to walk around like a damn hermit on the street and think it's okay. But it's not okay. And you destroying the men when you're supposed to be helping and making a man for God so that he can build a world for you. But it's hard as hell to build a world when you got to fight the enemy and then got your men who's supposed to be your helpmate beating you down at the same damn time. So we got to come up out of that because that don't work. That's death. But I can tell you, you'll be alone by yourself with another woman that's taken what you thought was garbage and trash and cleaned it up and made a god out of what you had. Thank you, family.
Wow. Thank you, Brother Maurice. Thank you so much. That's Brother Maurice Muhammad, five-star general for the Defenders of Farrakhan. The Brother Maurice, I ain't going to mute your phone. You just hang right there. Hold on. We're going to take another comment from area code 870. 870,
yes,
your mic is live.
Yes. I would like to say that to sum all this talk up that we've been talking or y'all been talking, I'd like to say this for y'all to think about. The progress is impossible without change. Change your thinking, and you change your life. When you stop the progress of self-improvement, you have reached one of the highest points of arrogance. Because to stop trying to better yourself, you are like saying that I am self-sufficient without the need of Allah. When in truth, we are all in need of Allah at all times and all things. We have to take our life as a Muslim seriously. If nobody else takes it seriously, you have to take it seriously, or you would not be successful. A lot of our people are niggardly because they don't want to admit they are niggardly. And they don't want to overcome that which is in self that makes us other than self. And when we work, we are not working cheerfully with courage and boldness. A lot of our sisters and brothers are cowardly. They are satisfied driving a white man's truck and living in a white man's house. So they sit back and kiss the white man's butt. And if they do get a business in the hood, they sell their people poison because our people are niggardly. And our women are working against the grain, so they turn cold against the man and are not patient with the man and look for a man just to get an ego extension. All praise to God.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you. Is this Brother Kelvin?
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum, beloved, and thank you for your comment. You are absolutely right. Thank you, Brother Kelvin.
Alaikum salam, sister.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
All right, area code 323. You got a comment? Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Abdul Majid Askia. I reside in Palmdale, California. And I would just like to say that our challenges are multidimensional, and many of us have many different talents and abilities and even perspectives. We, I believe, need to take a holistic approach, meaning that when you look at a puzzle, it may be hundreds or thousands of pieces to that puzzle, but everybody plays a part, and everybody brings something to the table, and we will never, ever see everything exactly the same way. It's virtually impossible, especially if we think of ourselves as a nation. A nation encompasses millions, if not billions, of people. So we have to be wise enough to comprehend that and be more inclusive. And with that said, I would just like to leave you with this thought. In any aspect of life, I don't care what it is, there's opposition. I don't care if it's volleyball, football, baseball, swimming, hockey, whatever it is, there's someone on the opposite side trying to win. They want to be ahead. They want to dominate. They want to control. Even if you take the Muslims collectively, even from different ethnic groups, they want their particular ethnic group to be the one that's selected as the leader, the teacher, the guide, or the model. I don't care what segment you're in, it's going to be somebody competing for the same thing that you're competing for. That's why the Quran says, strive as in a race toward all that is good. And let there arise out of you a band or a group of people inviting to all that is good and forbidding what is bad. So with those of us that have so many different points of view, if we would be sensitive and considerate and more diplomatic when we approach various other people and not think that they're supposed to comply to our particular mindset in an absolute sense, then we would be in a better position to forge ourselves ahead. Because what happened to us during that 500 years of slavery was not just physical slavery. It was mental, psychological, and emotional. Our lives were shattered, and it has taken generations for us to get to this particular point. And thank
yes,
you so
sir.
Much, and thank you for being there, and I'm glad you have this avenue open and you're having this discussion. And I wanted to first listen so that I could learn as well as understand others. So have a blessed day.
Yes.
And wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you for calling me and thank you for your support. Okay. All right. So, Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, I got a comment from a sister who's listening, and I'm not going to call her name, but I guess during the midst of our conversation, I have Brother Maurice with us as well. The sisters seem to think that, you know, that the brothers are blaming the sisters for, I guess, their behavior or whatever, but she has an idea that a lot of the brothers are just refusing to get married, you know, for whatever reasons, I'm not clear about what her reasons why she thinks they're not getting married. But let's just say that, you know, are they using money as an excuse? And is that being niggardly? Are they thinking that, you know, they don't want the responsibility of a wife? So, Brother Rakim, I'm going to ask you amongst the brotherhood, what do you think?
I think, and I got to tell the truth, sister, I think a lot of brothers are being niggardly by using money as an excuse not to get married. We are the poor righteous teachers, sister. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be productive or proactive. I'm not saying that we should be lazy and not sit around and twiddle our thumbs and not do anything to maintain a woman and maintain our family, provide for our family. I'm saying that if you got a woman, brother, if you listen, brothers, all you brothers who are making excuses about not getting married because you don't have the right job, the right amount of money in your bank account, me as a man myself, I know I'm a hard worker, and I know that if I have mouths to feed at home, if I have a wife, if I have children, if I have a woman to maintain a family to provide for, that makes me work even harder. So that attribute should be in every man. So whether you have money did not prevent you or prohibit you from marrying to anyone. And if you're looking at her bank accounts, you know, and you feel like she got more money than you, both of you all should lift one another up. So I think that is very niggardly to even think that way, sister.
Okay, and Brother Kareem, are brothers being niggardly when they use money as an excuse not to marry sisters?
Myself personally, I would say yes, that's being niggardly because it goes back to what you read at the top of the show. And just so we can be clear, that was Surah 3, and I believe in your Quran, it's Ayat 179. I've got the updated version, as they call it. It's 180 for anybody that wants to go and check it out. But it's said, and I want to share that because of how Allah states it in Quran. He says, and let not those who are niggardly in spending that which Allah has granted them out of his grace think that it is good for them. Nay, it is evil for them. And again, like I say, yes, we're talking about the money, but more importantly, we're talking about the wisdom and the knowledge that we have. I think that we as Muslims, both men and women, I'm going to say that, are worshiping, we still worshiping the dollar. We think the dollar is the answer. Yes, we have to collect money because it takes money to operate in this world. But when we actually understand what we have been given, we will see that the dollar or the money is just a tool. The real power is in the unity of the man and the woman. Now, yeah, there's going to be some brothers that's going to use that as an excuse because they have ulterior motives. But it's not just brothers. It's not just brothers. See, anybody that tells you that they don't have any motives is lying. We all have a motive. It's just that it can't be an ulterior motive, meaning one that is going to provide me with what I want and to your detriment. So, that is part of it. However, I was thinking about something when everybody else was sharing what we were talking about. Again, we will notice that the sisters oftentimes are more financially secure than the brothers. Well, has anyone ever thought of the fact that when it says in the scripture that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, that perhaps with the right thinking, perhaps Allah blessed you
with that economic superiority, I'm going to say it like that, so that you can help the man to rise and become what he's supposed to be, so he can maintain you. Because at the end of the day, the money isn't the power. The power is the God within. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did a lecture one time called The Leader Within. So we have to get out of being, yes, being niggardly. And like I said, I'm going to repeat this. We've been talking about the money or the monetary aspect of it, but the real niggardliness is our selfishness, our refusal to get into our place as we have been instructed in our teaching and do our job. And see, the thing is that we are not, it's not only going to be a personal, punishment that's coming. The blood of all those who could have been saved by our following the instructions instead of putting our own skin on it is going to be on our hands. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Maurice, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
So I want to ask your opinion. When you look across the board, are brothers being niggardly when they refuse to marry and use money as an excuse?
I think that that may be, you know, a small bunch that, that may do that. But I think
yeah.
the bigger picture is that we know as FOI to marry an MGT, that's a very big thing. That's a very big responsibility. And we don't take that lightly at all. And the MGT are on a pedestal. So, you know, and we're taught that, you know, when you marry her, you're supposed to take her up a couple of notches, not where she is, and then you stay there. You got to get her, marry her, take her up. And we know the reality of our pockets, and our pockets may not be able to do that. I know of a couple that the brother went out and bought a wedding ring for the MGT, and she refused it because she found out it came from the pawn shop. Now, that was the
wow.
best that that brother could do, but she refused it because it came from the pawn shop. So, you know, there's a problem here that has to be definitely addressed, and brothers, they're not dumb. You know, we understand exactly what the realities are. I think a lot of the MGT have unrealistic expectations. You're not getting with, for the most part, a rich black man. You're getting with a black man who really don't have much. But he has the desire to fulfill all your needs. That's the desire. And he wants to be able to be empowered to do it. But when they come with the high expectation that we already know we don't meet, then how are you going to handle the jewel that you got as the FOI? So, you know, a lot of us, we see what's really going on, and it's like before they want to step into that realm and get more abused, and then because you're getting abused, you might go upside her head, and then you be in some real bit more trouble. The best thing to do is just stay away from it until you believe you can. But there needs to be serious work done on the head of the MGT so she would understand what it means to be a helpmate for God. What does that really
Come
mean?
On.
What does it mean that when the minister said the extreme value of the MGT is that she will help make a man for God so that he can accomplish the task that Allah has put on his life? So if she don't understand her role and all she's looking at is a dollar, then he will always be ungood and unworthy to her in her eyes. So she has to go and really understand her purpose so that she can help him and he can be what he's supposed to be. Because as we stated, it's a team thing. It's not an I thing. But a lot of the MGTs are looking like, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. No, it's we doing it together. We got to have the right
way of thinking and dealing with this. And you know, that pedestal that they up on, they really got to take time and look and see the reality of what's going on. Because a lot of the brothers, you know, that's a waste that may break you and send you away from the nation because you can't handle what's coming out of that mouth. So you don't want to resort to the fifth, but if you don't know how to handle it, then that's what's going to happen. So that thing really needs to be worked on, really needs to be worked on, because the FOI want to deliver everything that the MGT desires. That's our greatest thing in the world. We will kill concrete over that woman.
Come on, man.
But how does she do us? But how does she do us? She got to come out of
it. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, I think we have a sister that has a comment. I'm going to try to bring her in. Sister Loving, are you there?
I see my girl.
Welcome to the ma'am.
I just wanted to comment on a few things. I want to start with the brother that just spoke last. The sisters have the brothers on the pedestal as well. But it's up to the brother to hold up to that standard. Most times when a sister is trying to talk to a brother, the first thing comes out their mouth is money. Because they don't want a sister to look at their finances. That shouldn't be the first thing out of their mouth, first of all. And second of all, don't say all MGT. Say some MGT and some FOI. Because all FOIs are not the same and all MGT are not the same. All MGT don't just look at finances. If a brother doesn't have as much finances as a sister, that's fine. You know, we are taught to be the brother's helpmate, so we can help them to get them finances because we all need them finances, but it's not all about the finances of most sisters. And something else one of y'all said, gotta get it right. I got to think of what I was wanted to say, but the point is I'm trying to make is don't beat the sisters down because the conversation that I'm hearing from you all, they don't want to comment, but y'all beating down the sisters. What sister would want to marry an FOI that's constantly beating them down? This conversation doesn't sound too healthy on y'all side now because if the sisters was beating y'all down, y'all wouldn't like it. So, you know, be careful of the things y'all saying about the sisters. That's what I wanted to say. I'm making it.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to think, sister, that, you know, that the brothers are beating down on the sisters, but I think all of us speak to a different degree or a different level of experiences. We all had different experiences. And I have the great fortune of talking to a lot of believers across the board. So it's six in one hand and half a dozen in the other for me. I hear sisters say that brothers use money as an excuse not to get married. I hear sisters say, some sisters, not all sisters and not all FOI say this, but I hear a lot of sisters say that the brother is not financially secure enough for me. I have heard sisters say that. And all I'm saying in all of this is that we have to be willing to build something. If the minister is saying that we as a people need to pool our resources to build something for ourselves, well, naturally, that is saying to me that we as a people individually may not have the necessary resources that it takes to build a little kingdom of our own, but together we can make things work. We can build things up. We can pool our resources and come together and be a powerful nation. In a marriage, it's the same thing. Me personally, I would rather marry a man who made $10,000 a year and treated me like a queen than to marry a man who makes $100,000 a year and I'm totally miserable with him. And if whatever. Well, not if. He has to have a vision. He has to have some goals and some aspirations. If I'm in position as his wife to help him get to the level that he wants to be, it is my duty as a helpmeet to him to get him to that next level, and vice versa. It just depends on where the finances are. Excuse me, but to smite a brother down or to smite a sister down because of money is what I'm saying, is that we should not be niggardly in our way of thinking of one another. We should not put price tags on one another when it comes to loving and committing in a relationship to one another. That should never be the case. A brother shouldn't smite a sister because she has one or two children, and if he says, well, I want to marry her, and I would marry her, but I got to feed her and those babies too. Well, look at this. If she and her babies are already eating, then the only thing you can do is come in there and make the situation better. They're already eating. They don't need you to eat. But the two of you can work together to build something up, and that's all I'm saying. And, you know, I don't want us to beat up on one another, but I want us to get an understanding of how we as a people can work together. We say that we are Muslims. In Savior's Day, the minister reintroduced the economic blueprint and the plan and what we could do with that plan. And he included all black people in that plan. However, us as Muslims, if we are to be an example to the lost found, we need to be proactive in that movement. Our national treasury needs to be established. But who are we waiting on to establish it? It's not us.
Come on.
So we can't sit back and procrastinate and wait to see how many believers are going to chip in and what the balance is going to be in 6 months. We're already 6 months almost after Savior's Day. I don't know where our national treasury is, but I do know what I do not see is the establishment of unity amongst our people. That is the one thing I do not see. So we got about 9 more minutes, and we're gonna conclude this. So, Brother Rakim, I'm gonna come to you first. What message do you have to the people to encourage them to participate in the economic blueprint and to unify with others of like minds and pool their resources? Any words of encouragement for our listening audience and our family?
I really wasn't prepared for that question, but I guess I will answer it. I believe that if we want to be free, you know, freedom really doesn't have a price. Freedom is priceless. If we want to be free as a people, I believe we just need to come together. We need to put every effort on every dollar that we make in order to do for ourselves, in order to be free. We got to.
Yes, sir.
The most honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a blueprint. If we are 3-year economic plan. Most of us haven't followed.
Yes, sir.
We have not followed it for 3 months. We haven't followed that 3-year economic plan for 3 days. So if we truly want to be free,
yes,
we must obey the messenger. We must obey him. We must submit to Islam. We Muslims, we must submit. So that's the only way just we can be free.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. And I'm going to go to Brother Maurice next, and I'm going to let Brother Kareem close us out. Brother Maurice, what words of encouragement do you have for the listening family tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I will say to the family that we must go ahead and do pulling our resources and do for self. because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that you got that's going to be able to prepare a way for us. We can look at the natural disasters that have touched this country from one end to the next, and you will always find, no matter which end it was, that black people were treated the worst and were served the worst. And coming down, more and more storms and more financial difficulties is going to come. And running to your white master is not going to save you. The only master that you need to run to is Allah, because that is your only way that you're going to make it. So we need to be wise and understand that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Maurice, and thank you for participating. Okay, Brother Kareem, you going to take us home.
All praise be to Allah. I want to say this. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to participate again in your service. Thank my brothers. Thank everyone who did participate for your comments, everything. And I want to say this. Again, this is not a beat-up session. And if I'll say this about myself, I will say I deeply apologize if I sounded like I was beating up on black women, part of MGC. That's far from what I was attempting to do. The thing is that we must look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us. The very first study guide, self-improvement, the basis for community development. See, when someone comes to me and critiques me, I didn't say criticize. Some people will think that critique and criticize are the same thing. They are not. There's no such thing as constructive criticism. Criticism is just that, criticism. That means I see your fault and I'm going to beat you over the head with it. But to critique you means I see where you are lacking and I come to you with a word of guidance to help lift you up. So we got to critique ourselves. And when I hear somebody saying something, and I believe the minister even talked about it in Closing the Gap, I listen. And if it applies to me, then I go in, I pull out what I need to pull out, and I make the corrections necessary. If it don't apply to me, I'm like a duck. It rolls off my back like water. But the thing that we must do, we have hit it over and over again, is our unity. If you go back to Willie Lynch, he talked about how he would keep us divided on all levels. But the main level that he would keep us divided and keep us from rising on is the division between the black man and the black woman. As long as he can keep us at one another's throat, whether that be intellectually, economically, spiritually, whatever the term you want to use, the bottom line is we are not united as we should be. We got to get past that. And as we have been sharing with you, it takes each individual looking into themselves. And I will repeat myself, like I say, the money is not the issue. The best example I can give you is this. Allah has been teaching me personally a lesson over the past 4.5 years that I believe I finally got it, because I don't sit up and worry or concern myself over money anymore. Allah keeps me by circumstance in a situation where it looked like the money just ain't there. And then not no spookism, because I don't do spookism. But without fail, right when the money is needed, he provides me with a means, with a job, in order that I can take care of my needs and then put something aside. When it comes to the 3-year economic program, yes, we must have a national treasury. However, we got the same instructions. You go and look in there. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said if there are 6 or 8 Muslims, and he uses the example of a grocery store, but let's take it out of this specific example of a grocery store and let's make it more general. If there are 6 or 8 Muslims with knowledge in whatever area, come together, pool your resources. The greatest resource is the individual. You come together, you put, yes, the nickels and dimes together, whatever money that's needed, you put that together and you begin, if you have too small, and begin to set that business up. We have to look at what the needs of the people are and then provide that need, whatever that need is. I don't care how many degrees I got in aerospace technology. My people ain't buying airplanes, but they buying toilet paper. They buying food. They got to have strollers for their babies because we're still making them. So then I provide whatever is the immediate need. We pool those resources. We set up a local business, and now we must, out of that, individually, as we collect this money, make sure that we send to the national treasury some money. See, we got to stop waiting on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to give us every little instruction, tell us when to brush our teeth, wipe our behind, put a shirt on. He's constantly giving it to us. The minister has taken the teachings, dare I say, like a mother bird, and he has chewed them up and digested them. We don't even have to digest it no more. All we got to do is just take it in and move on it. But we got that same teaching. We must unify, and we must, above all else, have practical application of what we say we believe in. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, and thank you, Brother Kareem. Okay, thank you all, the listening audience, all of you who have joined us in the chat room, and those of you who joined us by phone. Thank you, Sister Lovin, and the brother, I forgot what his name is. I think he said Shahid, I'm not sure. And thank you, Brother Maurice, all of you who called in and left your comments, and Brother Rakeem, it was such a rare treat to have you with us tonight, and thank you, dear brother. That's my little brother, y'all.
Oh.
Thank you for joining us tonight
so very much.
And
caught me off guard. You caught me off guard.
Whatever.
I definitely wasn't prepared.
You need to always be ready. And the FOI, you know, he overcomes all obstacles in his way, including big sisters. So, you did a magnificent job, and I know you're not too much out of practice. So thank all of you again. I want to give you the lineup for the rest of the week. Join us tomorrow, 8:00 p.m. Central, for study group put on the new man with Student Minister James Muhammad. He will be talking about part 24 or 25 of the time of what must be done, and he's going to expound on the shock of the hour. Join us on Saturday for Young Gifted in Black. Yes, we are coming back this week for sure. Brother Philip Muhammad out of New York is going to join us. I think Brother Carino is going to be on. Brother Muhammad 2G all the way from H-Town is going to join us as well, and we might get a surprise visit from Problem 13. I'm going to pull his coat and see if he can join us for a little bit. So don't miss that at 8 p.m. Central Saturday night. And on Sunday, Brother Vernon Muhammad, who is the part owner of Freedom Paper Company that we talked about so much tonight, he will be on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Central with, what's the name of the show? No Romance Without Finance. Okay, I'm getting old. No Romance Without Finance. Okay. And Brother Kareem, who you heard from tonight, will be back on Monday with Conscious Black Nation at 8 p.m. Central. And what's the topic?
The topic is the aims of Islam. Okay, what we're going to be talking about is practical application of our faith.
Okay. So you heard it from him, Yitro. The aim of Islam, practical application of our faith. So join us on Monday at 8 p.m. Central for that. And, of course, Brother Jihad will be back on Tuesday. We're out on the front line. He's wrapping up his series on courtship, it's not dating. On Wednesday, join us at 7 p.m. Central for DJ Black Season and Friends. And on Thursday, I will be back, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, with the lynching of Muslims. So join us for that. You don't want to miss that. And we're talking about something that is currently going on. So, and we're talking about literally lynchings in Dover, Delaware. And I will have Brother Jahi Issa from Dover, Delaware, joining us to tell us about the story about Muslims who are being lynched in Dover, Delaware, as we speak. So please join us for that. And I think that's it. That's the lineup for the rest of the week. I thank all of you for joining us. May Allah bless us all with the light of understanding as you go in peace. We leave you as we came before you. And assalamu alaikum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.